especially if you're visiting us this morning, or perhaps just come along for the second time or something like that. You're really, really welcome. If you've got a Bible, you might like to turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 5. And I think in all that we have been sensing that God has been saying to us and all that we've been hearing this morning, I think that there has been some kind of a flow in that which has been woven together, and I feel as though it links up quite strongly with how I want to approach this passage today. So hopefully you'll have a real sense of God's you're right there, Pete. God's highlighter pen wanting to speak to us this morning. So for those of you who are regulars here, you know that I've been working through the book of Galatians for some months now. And in some ways, there's been one key message running all the way through. Paul's gospel was full and true, powerful to put people right with God and to set us free, that kind of freedom that we've heard about already this morning. False teachers had come into the churches that he'd started in Galatia and in other places as well. And they were attempting to add law-keeping, rule-keeping to grace. But without realizing it, or perhaps realizing it, that was dynamiting the very basis of the salvation that Paul had taught them, that was to be found in Christ by grace alone. And so through the letter, he's been approaching that issue, trying to confront that. That's really what it's all been about. Now, in the section we're going on today, which is chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, Paul is wanting to show how if you go down the false teacher's route, which relies on human effort, you're going to be producing really stinking, rotten fruit. On the other hand, for those who've been set free from law and flesh, we have access to awesome divine resources to enable us to live the kind of life that God wants and which will produce sweet fruit. So really, this passage is a classic biblical two ways to live message. I mean, you find the two ways to live approach runs all the way through Scripture. There are two ways to live, by the Spirit or by the flesh. And if you wanted to, after this morning, you could compare Galatians 5 with Ephesians chapter 5, and you could place spot the similarities. But don't do that this morning, because I want you to listen to me. So, I'm going to read from verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord, thank you for these familiar words, verses. Lord, now we ask that we might be led by the Spirit and live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit as we attend to the Word of God. Be our teacher, our guide, direct our path, instruct us, help us to learn from you, Lord, the things that you've got for us from your amazing Word. Do us good, build us up, strengthen us. Help us to be ready to go fishing like we heard. Lord, help us to be ready to respond to what you've got for us by equipping us in the Word of God. Amen. So I'm going to divide it up really into sort of two sections. Walk by the Spirit versus don't gratify the desires of the flesh. So the first half then, walk by the Spirit. It's there in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Did you notice how Nikki kicked off our morning in Isaiah 35? Talking about a way for the people of God to walk in. And I mean, normally the Bible is pretty negative about foolishness. It views foolishness as a great danger and we need to become wise. And yet in Isaiah 35, I'm now going to paraphrase slightly, it says, even if you're a complete wally, God is going to make sure that you're going to stay on this good path if you're one of his people. Even those of us who know we are a bit daft sometimes and we do veer off here, there and the other, the Lord is saying in Isaiah 35, my people, I'm going to make sure they don't go astray. You're not going to get lost on this way. So we're called to walk by the Spirit. There is a way for us to walk in. Let me suggest two aspects to walking by the Spirit. The first one is this: obey his leading. So to walk by the Spirit means to obey his leading. So it might be that this morning we saw it kind of rolled out before us here. People sensed that the Holy Spirit was giving them something to say, and so they obeyed the nudge and had a go at saying it. That means walking by the Spirit. You are being obedient to the nudge that you felt God gave you. Now, that is, of course, not just for Sunday morning meetings. I mean, we're here practicing because the real stuff of walking by the Spirit starts in an hour or two's time as we go back out into the community. Obey his leadings. Maybe you'll get a sense of, give that person some flowers, send that person a text message, give that person a call, you know, speak to someone in the workplace. Just be sensitive. That Spirit might be sensitive. That person's low, they're struggling with something at the moment. Come alongside them. So as we sense those gentle nudges and prompts of the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit is to obey them. And as we're going to see all through this morning, as you start, well, not start, because I know that you do that. I know the kind of people that are in this room. But as we do that, what we will find is that we won't be perfect at it from day one. So we'll make a few little trips and mistakes along the way. As we're going to see, that is to be expected. That's part of the very process. But if we just say, oh no, I'm too afraid, I'm not even going to take the risk of responding to what I sense the Spirit calling me to do, then we're like that eagle. So no, I've got to stay in the nest. I've got to stay safe. You know, please, Mummy Eagle, don't boot me out. Please, Mummy Nikki, don't let me go to Canterbury or whatever it might be. This is relevant to us at the moment. So there is a stirring up of the nest. The Spirit wants us to step out in obedience. Now, I truly believe with all my heart that if we seek to obey the leading of the Spirit and we get it a little bit wrong, God will be thrilled with our faith and obedience. Because Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man returns, what's he looking for? Faith in the earth. That's what he's looking for. Will I find faith in the earth? Faith. Faith is the kind of person who says, I think Jesus said it, so I'm going to try and do it. That's faith. That's obedience. It's like for those who've got little toddlers who perhaps want to come and help them in the garden. I remember when my children sometimes wanted to do that when they were little. Their help is not very helpful in the garden. Or their help in the kitchen baking is not very helpful, is it? But Father God wants to draw us into his life, his way. He wants us to grow and develop. And so he draws us in. And so, yes, our best efforts are in a sense going to be childlike and tiny and all the rest of it. And you know, we'll be making a bit more of a mess for God to clear up. But our Father loves our faith and our obedience. So as we sense the Spirit nudging us, let's obey. Now, I'm not talking here about being wild and reckless. Oh, the Holy Spirit's told me to kill someone, so I'm going to go and do that. Okay, there's wisdom in terms of how we go about this. But as we saw a little bit earlier in chapter 5, all that counts is love. So if you sense the Spirit nudging you to speak a loving word or to undertake a loving action, it's going to be hard to go too far wrong with that. But who knows what will come out of that? So the first aspect of walking by the Spirit is obey his leading. The second aspect is rely on his enabling. Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us. The whole contrast between spirit and flesh is it's all about I'm doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it my way, according to my wisdom, according to my understanding. I'm doing what I think I should do. And you've cut at that point the vital connection to your head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a headless chicken activity, if I can use a slightly crazy analogy, for us to go dashing about like a chicken with no head. We're supposed to be connected to our head, who is the Lord Jesus. And the way that he works in us is through the Holy Spirit empowering and enabling. So we are to be those people who consciously seek to depend on the Spirit. That means simple things like praying, Lord, fill me again with your Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm not trying to be crazy and mystical here about all of it. It's about having a kind of an inclination or a heart attitude to say, Holy Spirit, please help me. Lord, help me. That's what it means to depend on the Spirit. It means we ask God to help us. I'm sure you're not very interested in the Greek, but the Greek here could be translated a bit like this. Be someone who is characterized by walking in the Spirit. In other words, it's what we would call present continuous. This walk by the Spirit is not saying on the day of your baptism, get baptized, that's it, job done. This is an ongoing walk, like the Isaiah 35 walk. We're walking, we're walking, we're walking. As you walk along the road of Isaiah 35, what we found is that a bit further on, it's kind of like you find yourself in heaven, don't you? It's describing heaven where all the suffering's gone, all the rest of it. But in the meantime, you're a bit of a wally walking along the road, and Jesus is going to make sure by the Spirit you don't get lost. So we're walking continuously, a la Isaiah 35, until the time that we are going to be with the Lord, until perfection comes. So we should be, as individuals and as a church, people who are characterized by walking by the Spirit. And it says in verse 16 that as we do that, the consequence is you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we've talked a bit about walking in Isaiah 35. It's a very biblical metaphor. It's used over and over again. A walk is purposeful, steadfast, going in one direction. My wife insists on circular walks, and so we have to be a little bit creative because it's not always very easy to make a circular walk, so I have to sort of pretend it's going to be circular and say, yes, it'll be circular. We're going to do a little bit there, which will mean we're slightly different. So but going on a walk is purposeful, it's steadfast, it's long term, it's going all the way to the goal. Walking by the Spirit is saying that I'm heading long term in that direction, the kingdom of God direction. I'm a citizen of the kingdom, and that is the direction that I am setting my face on. Friends, this is like a massive collision with the mobile phone instant generation that we now live in. We want everything instantly and immediately. But God's ways are not our ways. And so he sets before us this goal, and he then calls us to walk by the Spirit steadfastly towards it. And here's the deal. As you walk slowly, gradually, imperceptibly most of the time, the Spirit changes you. Every so often, you look back and you can see evidence of change. Sometime when you're going up a bit of an incline, you might not feel like you've changed much at all. And yet, as you're going up the incline, guess what? Strength is being built into you on the walk. Friends, on the day that you were saved, you did not become the full, complete deal. None of us. Every person in this room, from the teeny tiny over there to the more mature amongst us, every one of us, we are a work in progress, which means that we will trip up, we will make mistakes. Not every aspect of the likeness of Christ will be fully present in you. That is normal and to be expected. It means, therefore, that we need to be very patient with one another and ourselves. Because there are times when we get intensely frustrated with ourselves. There will be times when we irritate one another. Guess what? Those two things are part of the walk as well. They're part of what the Holy Spirit is using. We need to, in this, our thinking needs to be transformed and renewed. We are not people of the world. We are not the crash dieters who can change our lifestyle. That's not who we are. We are the long-term walking in the direction of the kingdom of God by the Spirit, one step after another. We're not sprinters. I mean, it's not even a marathon. It's a walk in the same direction by the Spirit. And in verse 25, it talks again in a really helpful way. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's really helpful imagery, metaphor. I don't know. Who doesn't mind perhaps making themselves look a tiny bit silly? It's not going to hurt, I don't think. Who's willing? Pete's willing to help me. Anyone? Howard's looking keen. Are you all right to this? Right, Pete, come and stand here. Howard, behind him. Facing me. What do you reckon, Sam? Are you up for it? Yeah, come on then. Right, what I want you guys to do is I want you, when I say I'm ready, I want you to march down to here, and then at the right time, I want you to about turn and march back so you finish up with Sam standing where he is at the moment. Okay? It's easy. Okay, this is an experiment. I haven't trialed this to see how it's going to work, but it feels like a bit of fun. So in your own time, when you're ready, off you go. Well done. You can sit down. Well done. I think it proved the point I was hoping it might do, although they actually did better than I was expecting, to be quite honest. You guys did really well. So the point I wanted to make is that it was necessary for the two guys who were following Pete to watch pretty attentively what was going on in front of them in order that they could keep in time. Because otherwise it was going to be chaos. And then when it came to the turning around point, they really did have to watch what was going on and see who was who, and then to be able to keep in time with one another. Now, in the same way, God's word calling us to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, this speaks of paying careful, sensitive attention to the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I reckon if we got these three to practice this for an hour, in another room, and then they came and did it again. I reckon they could pull off something that was a little bit more amazing, couldn't they? If we had like a bunch of squaddies who'd been doing this day in, day out, they would march in a very impressive way, wouldn't they, Danny? Yeah? You do it, but you can't just start doing it. It takes time, it takes attention, the paying of careful attention. And so what God's word is instructing us to do here is that if we are going to live and walk by the Spirit, then we're going to have to pay careful attention, and we won't be able to learn how to do that overnight. Seriously, you can't learn to walk by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit in a day. It's a lifetime's work. But the good news is, it's God's plan for us. And even while we're walking, even as we're marching along with the Spirit, the promise of Isaiah 35 is, it doesn't matter how rubbish you are at marching and how insensitive you are, the Lord himself is going to make sure. It's like when you go 10-pin bowling and they put the barrier things at the side. What are they called? Barriers. Bumpers. Now, when you do that with the kids, they normally score more than you, don't they? Because they kind of bounce it backs and forwards and wipe the whole thing out. Whereas you're sort of aiming it down the middle and ending up just taking a few. It's like the Lord in Isaiah 35 says, it's fine, I'm putting the bumpers up. So I want you to keep in step with the Spirit, but it's okay, you're not going to get so badly out of time that you'll fall off. I'm inviting you to walk with me, to see what I'm doing, to learn from me, to learn my ways and my style. And we've got a long walk to do, friends. We've got a lifetime, and I'm going to, in a whole lifetime of walking with you, show you how you can get really beautifully in step with me. It's going to be such fun. That's the invitation of the Holy Spirit to us. Now, last week, for those of you who were here, Pete was introducing the Sermon on the Mount. That's correct, isn't it, Pete? Yeah. And this is just the beginning of the next kind of teaching series that a lot of our preacher teachers are going to be looking into. So we're going to be digging into different parts of the sermon in more detail as we go along. But when we read the Sermon on the Mount, it is possible that we might think of it as being like an impossible standard that we could never attain to, or we could think of it as a standard that we must attain to, but then end up being very aware of our failure. Rather, let me suggest to you, and I hope I'm not contradicting anything Pete said here, that what the Sermon on the Mount is describing is a model of what it's like to be a citizen of God's kingdom, how to live in the kingdom way. And the Spirit that we're talking about today is going to say, now come and get in step with me and let's walk and live together. And as we read the Sermon on the Mount, we begin to get a bit of a vision of what that increasingly will look like in our lives. So when we read the Sermon on the Mount, I think, well, I'm not matching up to that standard yet, then you're in good company, because all of us are in that position. But if you look at it and think, well, I can never be like that, well, by the flesh, you're probably right. But by the Spirit, as we walk and keep in step with him, he wants us to become more and more like what we read of in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we've seen, learning to keep in step is not easy, but with practice and with steadfastness, we can grow towards it more and more. Verse 17, by the way, that isn't a sign that I'm going to be here till 2 o'clock going through it verse by verse. I will just give up on the notes at some point. But verse 17 talks about the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. When you really get to know someone well, you learn what their preferences are because you observe their choices, their priorities. So if you were to take that person out for a meal, you would be able to select from the menu if they had to go off for a while and make a phone call or something. You could order for them, confident that you would order correctly. I don't know, I'm just looking around the room to see if anyone feeling confident that they could do that, or some people feeling they'd never take the risk. But as we get to know people better, or you might think, yeah, I've got a bit of an idea of what kind of colours, you know, my wife might, again, you might feel that's a dangerous thing to try and risk doing. Or you might think, well, you know, I know the kind of drink that my husband might prefer or whatever. Well, as we get to know one another, we get a sense of what people's preferences are. You might think, you know, you might learn how much milk and sugar or not to put into people's drinks. We gradually get to know what people's desires are. And as we live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, what we are doing is we are gradually learning about what the Spirit loves. And as we deliberately try to become more intimate with the Spirit, we watch and see, how does the Spirit work? What are the things the Spirit seems to care about? And of course, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So it's going to be the things that Jesus cares about as well, of course. And we're going to see the kind of things that the Holy Spirit causes to grow up and to happen. And we'll begin to sense, even within us, the things that bring pleasure to the Spirit. We're going to recognize the fact that the Spirit loves love and generosity and kindness and mercy and justice. And maybe negatively, we'll learn the things that grieve the Holy Spirit as we witness sin and evil in the world around us, and even his conviction coming to us when we're a little bit out of step with him in some way. It's a learning process. It's over a lifetime. It's relational. And of course, like, I don't know, I'm sure I bought some really stupid gifts for my wife in the early stages of our marriage. I don't know, have any husbands ever got it wrong? Danny's putting it, oh, okay, I see lots of hands. Or have you ever bought stupid presents for your mother when you were a kid? I mean, just think back to, I bought some really daft things for her. Oh dear, what must she have thought? So we will make some mistakes, but they're motivated, I like to think, by loving care and intimacy. But obviously they're gracious. God is gracious as we make mistakes. But we learn and we grow about the things that the Spirit cares about. And we're God's children. He deals with us graciously, not harshly. He wants us to learn from him. He's gentle and kind. So walking by the Spirit comes as we seek to keep in step with the Spirit, as we try to learn by observation the things that he desires, the things he loves and cares about. And as we do these things, maturity grows within us. Verse 18 speaks about how we are led by the Spirit, or again, literally, you are being led. It's present continuous. This is what it is like to be part of the people of God. We are being led. And as we follow the promptings and leadings of the Spirit, this is evidence of the fact that we are those who are no longer under law, the old slavery to rule-keeping and law-keeping and performance, and instead we're soft and gentle, intimately following the leading Spirit in our lives. In verse 22, we see how this life by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is beautiful fruit. You know, in the Old Testament, there are metaphors used for the people of God. A fig tree, an olive tree. God's intention was that his life within his people should inevitably bear fruit. And the goodness, the sweetness, the succulence of that fruit was supposed to make the whole earth kind of like salivate, saying, wow, can you introduce us to this God? Now, of course, the law did have the effect of making Israel stand out and being different, but Israel's inability to obey the Lord by the law meant that the fruit never really came, and the nations didn't come asking to be introduced to their God, or very rarely. You know, we have Queen of Sheba coming to see Solomon. It's a kind of a tiny hint of what should have been and could have been, but was not. But that plan and purpose of God was not frustrated, because when Christ came, he made possible what was not possible under the law, fruitfulness. And God's plan, God's intention has never been rescinded. The church and each of us as a part of it are made for fruitfulness. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. John 15, verses 1 to 12. I haven't got time to get into it now, but Jesus talked about himself as the true vine, a vine that's unable to produce fruit by its own efforts, by the flesh or individualism, but a vine that's made clean by Christ, and that as it abides in Christ, produces fruit. A vine that experiences a pruning for further fruitfulness. A vine that produces the fruit of love and joy, it says in John 15, which were the first two of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul refers to. God's plan for each and every one of us is to grow by grace into the likeness of Jesus. That's God's plan for you. And no one can frustrate it. No one can stop it. No one can prevent it. The Spirit is committed to it, bringing about the plan and purpose of Jesus in your life. So friends, live by the Spirit. Obey his leadings. Depend on his resources. And allow him, over a lifetime lived with him, to see this kind of increase and life and growth developing within us. Now we could take a little bit of time to look at these fruit in more detail, but looking at the time, I think I'm going to pause at this point. But verse 23 says that against these fruit there is no law. It's unstoppable. It's available to us. And so this contrast then between law and Spirit is so clear. God wants us to be able to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. He wants to fill us again today. Let's just pray together now. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have got such beautiful plans and purposes for us. Thank you that it is your resolute, determined plan that we are going to be more and more like Jesus. You are determined that that shall be the case. And Lord, you're very strong. Who can frustrate you? Who can stop you? Lord, even if we trip up, you're going to use that to make us more like Jesus. Lord, we're so happy to think that you are working in us, that you want to work in us and with us. You want to make us more and more like Jesus. This is a wonderful truth. So friends, we must just clarify where we stand with Jesus this morning. Do you know that you belong to Jesus? Paulette had that word about wholeheartedly being his. Are you wholeheartedly his? Do you know that you belong to him? If we've settled that, we know that we're his, then surely the instruction to live, walk, keep in step, surely our hearts are saying yes. So I want to pray for us to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Body language helps. I want to invite you, if you want to stand. There's no pressure. You don't have to, but I just encourage you to do that. It's just our posture, saying, Lord, we're serious about you. I pray, Lord, as we stand before you or sit before you now, I pray for the flooding and the filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the empowering and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to come on each and every one of us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Empowering and enabling. Come, Holy Spirit. even as we've been working through this morning, maybe there's something that you know you need to obey the Spirit in that you've been putting off or trying to hide from. Just say to him yes right now, whatever it is. Say, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Just tell him in your heart, Holy Spirit, I pray, empowering and enabling to make the changes, to obey you in the little things that no one else in the room perhaps will ever know about. But simply, it's what you've said. So we're saying yes to you now, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, that it took a little bit of time. But today, we say yes, Holy Spirit. Let the empowering and the enabling come on us. Lord, those batteries in the microphone earlier were flat. Recharge our batteries with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the light be green in us today. Let the power be saying on us today. Come and fill us again, Holy Spirit. I pray for our young people. I ask you, Lord, to flood them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. May they be quick and eager to say yes to your leadings and your promptings, O Lord. Fill them, Lord. Flood them, we pray. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Yeah. We're going to kind of draw the formal part of the meeting to a close. But what I'd love you to do before we break for coffee or move or do anything else is, could you just turn to someone on your left or your right and just pray for one another? Just a simple God, fill Nikki with the Holy Spirit or whatever. Just pray a very simple prayer for someone that's next to you. And then in a few moments, it's teas and coffees. If you need more prayer, then come over to my right in a bit. The green badges will be there to pray with you.